This is an EP Culture Beat Lost interview. How's it going, guys? How are ya?
What's up, big dog?
Howdy.
Go ahead and introduce yourselves to the people listening out there.
My name's Ozzy Muniz, local stand-up comedian. And
I'm Luis Rodriguez. Same.
I'm better.
Actually, give me a sec.
Okay, so you guys might notice that there was a little like skittering happening in the back, and that stopped. That's because Miguel just went and went to the back and killed his dog for making noise. So
that's not true.
No more dog noise. Don't worry about it. It's over because that the dog is dead. I mean, I didn't think it was necessary, but he insisted. He said it was his dog and he could do what he wanted. It was his house. He started like puffing up against me, and I was like, "Dude, it's cool. We're friends." And so finally, like, he calmed down. Yeah. He still killed the dog, but like, at least he was cool with me about it. You know?
Yeah, at least he did it humanely. You know, just right across the throat. You know, it's crazy.
Jeez, guys, that's all terrible. How'd you guys get into actively doing comedy?
Well, I actually started doing comedy because I had just gotten out of like a really bad depression. So, you know, like a lot of stuff wasn't going my way, and it was, you know, life was just pretty much beating me down. And so my buddy dragged me out to an open mic night, and I ended up performing, and, you know, I just, that adrenaline rush, like, even though I sucked, like, I wasn't great at all my first time out. Mm-hmm. But like just that rush of just like, you know, damn, fucking, I did it, you know, and I just kept wanting to do it, and I've been doing it for about 2 years now.
Lewis?
All right. So I, when I was little, I liked Cheech and Chong and Gallagher, which, I mean, again, I was little, so I think excuses that, but I like the Gallagher. Cheech and Chong's always cool, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I kind of like, I stopped caring until I fell in love with Bill Hicks in high school, and like, and just that made me a comedy nerd. But like, it wasn't something that I thought I could do or I could aspire to. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the kind of stuff that I would joke about. And then I heard Anthony Jeselnik, and I was like, oh, you can like do like fucked up jokes, like, and people like it. So like my first 5 minutes was just shit that I would say to friends, like, but, you know, that I thought was funny in a lot of people. But, it's a niche thing, but, you know, it's what I like to do.
You mentioned being a comedy nerd. Not a lot of people are comedy nerds. Some people can't even watch, like, a stand-up comedy special. Like, I know some people like that. You kind of told us what triggered you to become a comedy nerd. What triggered you, Mr. Ozzy?
Well, to be honest, I'm not even really a comedy nerd. Like, I'll be straight out. Like, I don't really watch a lot of comedy. And when I do watch it, it's because I want to be entertained. Because, like, I've noticed when I watch it, I end up just critiquing. And I don't want to, like, critique. I want to be able to know that this person is an entertainer and they're good and I'm going to enjoy myself. And, I mean, it's a thorough screening. Like, I mean, I go through a lot of nonsense to get to the stuff that I like. But, I mean, that's pretty much with anything, you know, like, I mean, with music, with art, with any form of entertainment or commodity. I mean, it's, you just got to weed through the stuff and find the stuff that you like. And, but yeah, I just finished watching this English chick on Netflix. What's her name? Oh, dude, I don't even remember her name, but she's this English woman. She's on the second season of The Stand-Ups. It's on Netflix right now.
Cool.
Super funny chick, super hilarious. Like, she was great. I liked her. So, like, I thoroughly enjoyed watching her set on Netflix. So that's,
I mean, at least
we can go check her out then.
Yes, you should.
Google it.
Netflix it.
What's the hardest part of being a comedian?
I think, like, you feel judged. Like, nobody likes to, but I think, like, I'm kind of insulated from that. Like, because, like, I go in, like, kind of expecting most people to not like my joke. So, like, I just kind of bullshit myself that it's like, oh, they just don't get it. They're just assholes. They don't, they're not the, you know, because, but, it seems like that's like the thing that affects the most people. And I mean, I have friends that I think are funnier than me. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are, like, who are comedian, they're like, oh, I'm the funniest person I know. I think I'm fucking funny as fuck. But I have friends who are, I think, like, could just, if they started doing it, they would murder and have it so easy. But they just can't get up on stage. Like, so, I mean, and I guess that's the biggest thing, is just being able to get in front of people, being vulnerable.
No, yeah, I feel like the hardest part for me is just, like, all the pussy I'm drowning in. It's crazy, dude. Like, I mean, I was already, like, knee-deep in poon, but now it's, like, up to the knuckles since I started doing comedy. I gotta wave chicks off, dude. You know, I mean, I don't like dissing anyone, but, I mean, you know, sometimes, like, I don't know. You gotta fuck a 4 to appreciate an 8, you know? That's all I'm saying.
I don't even know what to say to any of that.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Nah, I'm just messing with you. I guess the hardest part of it is just, I guess, the misconception. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you're a comedian, like, you should be on Comedy Central, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that it's a very heavy pool of people all around the country, all around the world.
Kind of like it's a dime a dozen kind of deal now. Kind of like
absolutely.
Guitarists and,
yeah.
What else is a dime a dozen?
Bass guitarists.
Drummers. DJs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you gotta, but see, you gotta do something extraordinary to, you know, poke out, you know, to stand out. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then you're just diluted. You're just in the pool, and nothing's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the hardest part is the misconceptions of people thinking, like, you know, you need to be at this certain level, mm-hmm. or you're not successful, and that's not true. Next question.
Exactly. Exactly. Is it obvious when a comic is good or bad? Like, as in, he or she is not doing their homework? Like, as in, like, writing out a set or taking time or refining?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I think a lot of people have different strengths, and you can see, like, how good they are naturally, and that the areas where they're lacking, it's just shit that they could be working on. Like, they're too good for how shitty they're doing. I think, like, that's when it's the most obvious. And then, like, but then everybody has, like, everyone wants to give, like, their advice, and, like, a lot of the time it's really specific. You know, you can't impose, like, what works for you on someone else. Like, it's not gonna, but I mean, it is just, like, I think seeing when somebody's better than you see that they're doing, like,
yeah, that's totally not confusing at all.
Yeah. But I think when I listen back to it, it'll probably make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know, right? It's very enlightening.
Yes.
No, well, I guess, yeah, man, you can definitely tell, especially because, like, you know, Lewis and I are probably one of the few that go to a lot of the open mics here in town. And so, like, yeah, I mean, you can tell when someone, like, we can tell when someone's doing really well, and, like, or you can tell when someone that's supposed to do really well isn't doing well. And it's mm-hmm. obvious because, you know, they're, I mean, and it's not a matter of laziness, you know, I mean, like, comedy is, I mean, unless you're dedicating yourself to it, like, you know, it's going to come to, like, it's going to be second or third on your priorities. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, I mean, you can certainly tell. It's very simple. I mean, even when someone goes up there with a bad attitude, like, you can feel that energy. And, you know, doing comedy for a couple of years now, you can automatically, like, I feel like I can walk up on any stage and automatically read, like, okay, these people like this people like mm-hmm. that. And I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but, you know, I've been in front of enough crowds to where it's like, okay, I know what not to do with certain looks and crowds that I have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to be able to at least scan the crowd, right? And be like, maybe I shouldn't do this or that.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it only comes, like, naturally to, I guess, not feel like you can say everything you want, even though you can, but, you know.
No, yeah. I mean, you have to be careful nowadays. I mean,
yeah. Do you guys help each other out with your material, since you guys go to these open mics a lot together?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, like, you don't like getting, advice from other comics or necessarily even jokes, yeah. but like other comics will be great for tags, especially like building up off of something like that you're doing, and they'll be like, oh, the way that worked, you could do this or that. And like, I think that helps. Like for me, I get a lot of people, like, since I do dark humor, they'll come up with a joke, but it doesn't work for them because it's, you know, it doesn't fit their persona. So they'll try to give it to me, but just usually like I don't just like it because it's dark. It has to be clever. Like I don't just want something where like it's just like, oh, it's fucked up. Like I like it because it's clever. You know what I mean? Like,
all right, let's pause on that. We're back. Yeah. Do you guys help each other with your routines?
No. Yeah, man, definitely. And I really feel like that's something that the new wave of comedians over the past maybe two to three years, they're the ones that have kind of been encouraging, you know, writing together and doing all that. Because, I mean, I don't know, and I'm not talking shit about anyone in particular, and I'm not even talking shit. Like, that's mm-hmm. just the environment that was – the environment when we came in was very like, yo – you got to do this yourself. No one's going to help you. Like, you know, fucking, if you want to write, like, we'll write some shit. But I mean, other than that, like, you know, you got to come, like, I don't know.
And that's
like,
kind of my idea of comedy when I think of comedy and going into it. Like, you're going in alone.
And see, like, the thing is with, like, this new wave is that, like, we understand that there's so much work to be had. Like, I mean, you know, there would be comics that would get mad at other comics because they have an open mic the same night or something dumb. And it's like, yo, that's not competition. Like, that's, if anything, it's better. It's more opportunities for the people that are in the scene in the first place. So, I mean, like, anybody that's willing to take the responsibility of the environment here, mm-hmm. Is definitely like, you know, they're the trendsetter right now. And I mean, I feel like I'm kind of one of those people also, because I mean, all I want to do is provide opportunities for my fellow comedians, and I every opportunity that I get, I try to extend it to other people. You know, like, I recently got a corporate gig back in December. I could have done the 30 minutes myself and gotten, you know, like $500 some, but I was like, you know what, let me have a host and another guy, and, you know, like, yo, come do this corporate gig, meet these people, maybe they can book you for some future shit, whatever. And so I'm always willing to provide opportunities for other people. And that's always been my thing.
That's funny. A lot of people that I've been talking to, like, they all mention teamwork or working together. I mean, I guess nowadays, yeah, you can't float without, like, having some kind of, like, help.
Well, yeah. Well, like, it's not even necessarily
you can't
help.
Be
it's support.
Your own island, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's support. Because, I mean, like.
Why?
Yeah, why do that? Mm. Why isolate yourself? Like, I mean, in a game, like in an entertainment business that already isolates, you know, performers in such a drastic way
with algorithms
and algorithms and, you know, what's trending and all that. Like, I mean, you're already segregating entertainers to such an extent. I don't see why we need to share that segregation that I guess mainstream has on us, that, and we don't need to extend that to each other. And so, like, if we can all, you know, if we can all eat at the same table, then let's do it, you know? And that's something that I really believe in, because there's so much talent here.
Yeah.
There really is. Like, I mean, the Counterculture was on here the other day, right? Yeah, yes. And those guys are fucking amazing, dude. Like, shout out to John and Icarus. Like, you guys are dope, straight up. But, I mean, and he recently hosted one of my shows, you know? So, I mean, like,
all connected.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, in any shape, way, or form that I can provide for you to do what you love to do, then I'm willing to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I right now I'm trying to work on a team of dudes that are willing to do it, but so far, yeah, no. I'm trying to work on a team of dudes from the back, and it's just hard to swallow. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I needed, well, not necessarily like dudes, but, you know, just people that are like-minded and are willing to, like I said, provide opportunities for other people.
So as long as they're like dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They can be like, you know, guys that talk too much.
How do jokes come to you? Where do your jokes come from?
I think mishearing things a lot of the time for me is it's one of those like jokes from the, it's like a gift from the universe. You know what I mean? Like somebody says something and you mishear them. And so, like, it ends up being something really funny, but they didn't think of it. and you didn't come up with it. You thought you heard them say it. Like, so, yeah. Like, nobody's really responsible for it, but you're just, like, lucky that you, like, caught it like that. Well, if you catch it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I'm sure everybody, like, hears, we just tune everything out. Like, that's how our brains are made. I don't know, but like, you know, it's like when you're on, like, a lot of ecstasy and, like, and you start picking up everything and you notice, like, all the background noise because that your brain normally tunes out. Like, but, yeah, it's like that, like...
You're watching out for, like, natural plays on words, yeah. I think. Like,
suddenly, like, somebody says something, and suddenly I think that they said, like, I just wish we were all outside staring at my dick, you know? Like, and I'm like, and I start laughing, you know? I'm like, did you just, and they're like, no. And I don't even remember what the dude said, but I just, like, thinking that, you know, he said, like, I wish we were all, I was like, yeah, I just imagine I saw, like, in a field in a sunny day, just laid in the grass, like, under a tree, and, like, and there's everybody's just, like leaning in, like, looking just at the dudes, you know? So, like, but I didn't think of that. That's what I, you know, that's what I heard. So it's not my, like.
So hearing things is pretty much your process? Like, do you write stuff down?
Like, I think that's what, like, because, I mean, a lot of my jokes are just, like, it's wordplay and shit, like. So it is hearing, like, it's like the misdirection shit. So I don't know.
Like a magician?
Kind of.
Like a magician.
What are you going to add, Mr. Ozzy?
I do love the magicians here. No, but yeah, dude, I guess the joke, like, honestly, jokes just come from life. Like, I mean, it's really, like, all a comedian is just, like, you're reporting your observations to an audience, mm-hmm. and it's humorous. But I mean, it's because, like, you know, it's something that you've, like, pointed out that, like, nobody really gets to talk about, but when you're on that stage and you mm-hmm. mention it, everyone's like, oh shit, you're right, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like
an aha moment.
Yeah, like, it's weird, like, right now I have this opener that I have, and it's like, trying to be famous in comedy is a lot like trying to be famous in porn, because, you know, you expose yourself in ways that you never thought you would. You do it in front of people for money, and you're going to keep doing it no matter how disappointed your family is. So, see, like, mind you, when I say comedy's like porn, people think, like, oh, this is going to be a dirty joke. But, see, I didn't say anything that's dirty in that joke. It's just a matter of, like, catching those similarities and then exposing them, and that way it's like, oh shit, hey, I didn't think of it that way, you know what I mean?
It's weird that you mentioned porn, because, like, there are some people that find being actively in comedy kind of, like, I guess shameful, you know, like, really, like, you know, like, really, you're doing that, like, are you even that good, you know?
Yeah,
but I mean, if you fucking have to do it, right, you gotta do it. What do you gotta say to that, Lewis?
I mean, just you do it, like.
Have you ever felt shame, like, on stage?
No, I mean, it's a stereotype. No, I mean, there's probably times that I should have felt shame, but I just, because of me being who I am, I don't. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I guess I can use that, like, as a barometer for knowing, like, whether, you know, how far I'm going. You know, like, oh, you know what? Other people, this is probably a bad thing. Yeah. Mm. So I should probably feel bad. Does that make me, like, a fucking psychopath? Like, a fucking...
To feel bad after the fact?
Well, no, just, like, to not... To need to have other people... tell me that something... But, see, I think a lot of the time people are just... there's bullshit boundaries, I think half of, like... For me, like, half of it isn't just for the... I'm doing it for me. Like, it's something I believe in. It's, like, it's an art. Like, it's me expressing myself. So I wouldn't do it in a private conversation, so I'm not going to do it on stage either. I'm not going to, like, change mm-hmm. whatever, you know. Like, I try not to hurt people's feelings, but I don't care what they think. So, like, they can, you know, I don't know.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm glad you lack malicious intent, Lewis. No, but you're a nice guy, yeah. Like, golly, you're a fucking doofus. You're gonna kiss me or something? No, dude, we'll do it after this. But anyway. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, like, I mean, no, yeah, dude, there's plenty of fucking shit that goes on in the comedy game. And it's like, I mean, you got to learn to just deflect it all. And mm-hmm. I mean, people are going to get offended. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's just something that you're going to have to deal with. And honestly, like, doing a lot of like call center representing, like I learned how to de-escalate like a situation where someone's super fucking pissed at me over a joke. And I did one recently. Not, it wasn't even recently. It was like last year. It was like last fall. And this dude came up to me and he like legit wanted to fight me over this joke. And I'm like, yo, man, like straight up, you know what? I'm sorry. I won't say the joke again. And I mean, I did say the joke again because fuck him. But, you know, like I'm not going to go catch a charge over a joke. You know what I mean? So like it's just something that you're going to have to deal with. And I mean, if it is truly offensive and it's like, you know, and it's coming off as malicious or, you know, like you're catching a lot of flack for this joke, like at multiple mics, then it's probably something that you should change yourself. But I mean, if it's like one dude or like a woman that gets mad after a marriage joke or something stupid, like, I mean, you just have to de-escalate. You just have to learn how to deal with those people and de-escalate the situation. Because if you don't, then I mean, stupid shit happens. There was this comic that broke his guitar over that one dude's head. There's a video. It went viral. I don't even remember. It's like some old dude, and he's like about to go up and start singing a song. And then one dude's like, "You suck!" And then he just gets up out of his chair, bangs him over the head with a guitar, and then his guitar's all broken. He puts it back on his lap, trying to play it, and he's like, "All right, let's do some comedy, folks. You ready?" And everyone's like, "Boo!" And at that point, your comedy career's over, dude. Like you're just like, and it's on tape. And no, like, I'm sorry, but just yeah, dude,
straight up assault.
No, yeah, dude, it's crazy. Like I've seen people get bottles thrown at them. Mm-hmm. Like fucking, this happened like on year one of comedy. We went to this winery out in Las Cruces, and you can actually look this up. It's fucking in the news. You can look this up. It was a shooting that happened at this winery after the comedy show. And it wasn't even after the comedy show. See, we were doing a great show all the way through.
Yeah.
The headliner shows up late. He's hammered. And he's going up and he's just bashing everybody in the crowd, like bashing him hard. And he's like, the one that got him was he starts ripping this dude's wife, like calling her like, you know, a whale or some dumb shit. And then this dude ends up getting his bottle of wine that he had and chucks it at him and it breaks against the wall. And then he's all drunk. So he just drops the mic and starts swinging. And like, dude, it got insane. And like, once I hear like women screaming and glass breaking, like that's my cue to fucking leave. And so we left. Then the next day I didn't find out till the next day, but there was a fucking shooting that happened there. That happened at this winery after the show. So it's like, it's some rowdy shit, dude. And you got to be willing to be up for anything. Like, oh, dude, it's, you just have to be willing to be putting up with anything. I mean, unless you're really controlled about it and you're not going to go out and just go straight to your hotel room, then, you know, do that and chill. But other than that, like, you got to be ready for anything in comedy. It's on stage, off stage, after the show, anything. It's absurd.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Sounds dangerous, man. How long does it take to write a 5 or 10 minute set?
I mean, I think it's different for different comics. Like, I mean, a lot of, like, there's people who are like, do the storytelling, like the long form stuff. And then there's, like, I mean, most of my stuff are like one liners, or like a lot of, I can string together, you know, depending on the need, like, different jokes together. Whereas I think it's harder for other people because they're doing, they need like a certain amount of time to do. Like I mean, some of my favorite local comics, you said you interviewed George Cortez, right? Like, he has like these great, great fucking bits that he has. But I've seen like when he tries to like do shorter versions, and it's funny. But like, I feel bad for the other people who are hearing it for the first time, because I feel like they're missing out. Because like, I know that he has all this other, you know what I mean? That to really do it justice.
Yeah.
And I think it's like that with a lot of like, whereas like, I think it's easier for me because it's like, okay, I need this, like, okay, so I can do this set of jokes. It'll work. So
answer the question. How long does it take you?
So for me, I mean, it just depends on the jokes and the tags. Like it sometimes I'll come up with something quick.
Set, how long did it take you to write that?
My, Well, like I said, like the first 5 minutes, like, was quick because it was just everything that I like text that I'd sent somebody, or like a Facebook post, or like just, or shit that I would just regularly say to people, like the thing, like the baby thing that I always like talking about, like eating babies and stuff. Like that was just something that I would say because people were always talking about their kids, and I was always like, you know, just bored, and they'd be like, oh, and you, like, you have any, like, so I started one day just saying like, oh, like I had a baby once. It was delicious. And like, yeah, and I've actually had like these like fucking these like just fucking stupid fucking people like get mad, like, I have kids, that offends. It's like, dude, I'm not talking about eating your fucking dumb kid, you know, like, I just like, it's an imaginary kid, like, it's just a fucking, you know,
it's a hypothetical.
Yeah, but yeah, that, I mean, so my first, but I mean, after that, like, it, for me, it doesn't take long. Like, if I have the jokes, I mean, I couldn't put a number on it. Like, it as long as it takes to say the joke.
2 months.
No, I mean, because I try to write every day. So I mean, like, if I don't have time to write for 30 minutes, but if I came up with one good solid joke, like, I'll count it. Like, if not, I at least did 30 minutes of bullshit that didn't come out to anything. Like, but at least, you know, like, there might be seeds or something. I don't know. What about you, fucker?
2 months.
Yeah.
There. That's it. I answered the question. See how easy that was?
My answer took almost as long as the duration that you used.
Yeah, whatever. No, yeah, dude. Like, yeah, Lewis is right to a certain extent. Like, I would have to disrespectfully disagree with him on some things. But, no, yeah, like, I mean, it does, like, it depends, too. Because, like, I mean, depending on the style of writing that you want to do, you know, the tags, the punchlines, like, honestly, I'll put a stopwatch on my jokes and I'll just tell them in the mirror, you know, and I tell them in the mirror and I'll stop it. And then that way I have an idea of how long each of my jokes are. And so when it's time to do a show, I'll write it down and I know, like, they'll tell me like, oh, you have 15 minutes. Oh, you have 20 minutes. Oh, you have 5 minutes. Like, okay. And then boom.
I don't know how you could do it that long. Like, just, like, staring at yourself in the mirror, like, fuck, dude. Like.
No, yeah, I mean, I close my eyes. But yeah, dude, so, I mean, if I need, like, I have the, right now I have a good 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And mind you, that's, like, with everything that I've written over the past 2 years and the stuff that actually works. So, yeah, I mean, it takes a long time, and that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand. Is like, you know, it's like, I guess make it, like, when I make analogies, I kind of like to do it like with boxing, because comedy is a lot like it. Like, I mean, you have to work at it every single day, and I mean, you can't skip 2 months and then jump in the ring and expect to get a knockout. Like, you're the one that's gonna get knocked out. You know what I mean? Because you're not coming correct, and you have to. All the time, like, and
practice.
And that's what the open mics are for, you know. Go to the open mics, bomb, fucking say whatever you want, like, do that, that's fine. But when you're getting paid and it's a serious thing, and, you know, there's businesses that are investing in this event, and, you know, just like legit shit, like, you got to come correct, you have to, or else, like, you know, you're just gonna blackball yourself, you have to. And I mean, if you do your set and you just don't do well, then okay. I mean, you went out and tried, but I mean, if you show up and you're just hammered, or, you know, like, you're just, it's just unprofessional. Like, you, like, people have to take it seriously, and I pride myself in knowing that I do take it seriously.
Cool.
He's also very, I like, preachy.
Coming from you.
What was your first show like, and how was the most recent one you did?
Oh, man. My first show was at Jack's Beach House, like, in January of 2016, or maybe like late December, I can't remember. It was like right in between the new year. But no, yeah, I was super nervous. I went up, and I mean, I was always a theater kid, so I wasn't like necessarily afraid of the stage. I was just more nervous about not being funny. And well, luckily, I had a lot of friends with me, so they supported me. I mean, I sucked. I know I sucked. Like, I mean, they didn't have to sugarcoat it, but, you know, they were like, oh, it's his first time out, like, we're gonna support him. Hey, man, you did good, you know, but I mean, that's what, I guess that's what, like, they're good enough friends to have just supported me. And then my most recent one was on March 3rd. We did the 501 Bistro. And we almost sold out, dude. We fucking, the capacity in there's about 70 people, but then like with the stage and all the equipment, it got cut down to about 55.
It's a cool place.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool place. And like we did it, we even did it inside. We weren't outside on the stage that they have. We even brought, like, I brought platforms to set up inside because it's cold, bro. It was cold then. So I was like, no, we're going to do it inside. It's going to be dope. And I mean, yeah, it was
comedy in the cold.
Show. Yeah, no, that's not Canada? Fun. That is not fun.
Sorry, Canada.
So my first time was at Grind Bar. And when we got there, like at first it was just comics. Like there wasn't anybody. So it was my very first time. Like my friend Dave took me, Dave Gomez. And it was cool because it was just the comics. Like I was reading off my phone. So like I did it and you know, like some of them laughed, like they gave me pointers and stuff. And then people actually started showing up. So like, hey, like, do you want to like do it again? And so like, I did it the second time, and that because I'd already done it once, like I had like a little bit of confidence.
That's so professional.
And
two sets in one night.
And then, but what would really help was like there was this one girl who at the end of the show she went up to me and she's like, hey, like this was your first time. I was like, yeah. She's like, dude, you were great. You were like, here, choke on my jokes, like, and like I thought that was cool. Like that was part of what motivated me to keep like doing it, mm-hmm. and. And then I saw her like a year later at a party, and like I even like thanked her, and I was like, dude, I'm like, part of like why I'm doing it is because, you know, like that was like cool. A really cool feedback for the first time. And then but yeah, the recent show I did was the one that you missed out on. And I fucked up because I had planned on a different set, but then since like it got cut to like doing just 3 minutes, I like cut out some necessary jokes for like going into the dark shit, because I've learned like that there I can't just go hard. And so like the first like 2 minutes were fucking cool because it was like not nice jokes, but they were not as fucked up. So like
so they were
and then I just like the last two jokes I like to go close hard, so like I just like I said I skipped the necessary lubing jokes and and yeah, like it just like, but yeah, I'm used. I kind of get a kick out of, especially my closer. Like I'm not gonna do it, but it's one of those jokes where it's like really fucked up. It's so like if it's a crowd that likes the dark humor, they're digging it. Like they'll really like it. It's so fucked up that I kind of almost like it a little bit more when they don't like it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's okay, you didn't like that last fucked up joke. Here is a special one, you know.
This was at the Barbed Wire open mic at the Black Orchid Lounge.
Yeah, Richie's really nice to keep letting me do them because, like, I do great when it's a crowd that's there for comedy. Like, the contest and the open mics that I've done at the comic strip, like, but when it's people that they're just, like, regular, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, I'm not doing, like, you know, Gabriel Iglesias, like kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm
you mean like good?
Yeah, like if you know
or like safe. Let's say safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say safe.
What is it like to do open mics? I guess a follow-up question on like
it's painful. It's very painful. Like, I mean, you got to
it's hard to get people to care.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's hard to get people to care. So like, I mean, the whole point of the open mics is so that comedians can go and pretty much train. So, you know, you're going to go see what hits and what doesn't, you know, like if you might get a little laugh in one crowd, but then the next day you go to another one and they're fucking roaring, you know? So you have to be, I guess you just have to be persistent. Like you have to like your jokes enough to keep saying them over and over. And if you don't like it enough to say it over and over, then don't do it. Like I know comics that'll be like, oh, well, I don't like this joke, but it gets a good laugh. And I'm like, well, then you should probably write something better. Like, if you don't like it, then don't say it. But if it's like, but if you're willing to, you know, kick yourself down a moral peg to fucking get the laugh, then, I mean, you're just, you know, selling your soul for it pretty much. So, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about it. Like, if you don't like the joke, don't say it. It doesn't matter how good it is or whatever. If you don't like it, just don't fucking say it. Like, don't complain. Don't come complaining to me or other comedians and being like, oh, well, I don't like that one, but I'll say it.
So how do you transition from doing open mics into, like, doing clubs?
Well, dang, that's, I mean, like I said, the open mics are just gyms. They're just gyms. You're going to go, you're going to work out, you're going to see what hits, and then...
Poke gyms, right? Pokemon gyms.
Exactly. And then the shows are the real, you know, I guess the Pokemon gyms. Yeah, they're the ones that are like, yo, this is, you have to know your shit. You need to be correct. And,
before you battle.
Yeah. And so, like, and I mean, it's just basic joke structure. Like, you can go up at an open mic and you don't need to have any kind of, you know, flow. Like, you can just go up and pop off jokes. And so, but when you're doing a set on a club and a, or like at a or at an event, like at a casino or anything, you have to have like a generalized flow of it and kind of, and you, it's just a matter of knowing how to piece it together. I mean, it's basic joke structure, and like, you'll, once you start learning the ways to actually write and set up jokes for other, even transitionary phrases, like, that's something I learned just a couple months, like maybe 5-6 months ago, a transitionary phase. So, like, I mean, there's really small, intricate things, because there's comedians that even, like, talk about syllables. You know what I mean? Like, they'll count their syllables in their joke and how many syllables it has, and it has to be a certain amount. And then, like, you know, what word works better? You know, there's synonyms.
They break down homonyms, the structure to, like,
it's everything, dude. So, I mean, the really structured dudes like Anthony Jeselnik, like he said, Bo Burnham. Bo Burnham is probably, like, he's so good, but it's structured. Every single movement, every single face, every single, like, mannerism that he does on stage is planned.
Like, Pablo Francisco, that video where he's all, like, amped up, and he keeps, they keep trying to get him off the stage, but he's, like, so good with his set that he would just, any interaction that they'd have with him, like, whether, like, when somebody comes up and trying to take him up, or, like, them talking to him, he would... take like whatever they were saying and then jump back into his set. Like, he kept turning it so it seemed like he was going to start talking about something else, or it seemed like he was going to listen to them and get off, and then he'd just go back into his set, like, and it was like he was like a machine, like he just like blah, 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 and start just doing it over and over again, and like, that's what's kind of funny, and it's not like one of those shocking videos where like he does something, but I mean, he's that good that he, even on autopilot, they can't distract him, they can't, but he's able to get back to where he wants to go.
Well, just like any performance, it has to be structured, right?
Yeah.
I think as we become structure.
Yeah, dude, Jacob Esparza, I think, is like hilarious, dude, but like a problem for him is that he doesn't write anything down. So like, he'll do some like really funny shit, and a lot of the time he can't repeat it because he's just like going up there and just being generally like funny. And he has his jokes. Yeah, like, so... It, you know, different people have different approaches to it, and think different things work, but I don't know. I guess it's just everything has its pros and cons.
Yeah, cool. Where can folks find you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook, Ozzy Muniz. I have a comedy page, also Ozzy Muniz Comedy. I also have the podcast page. You're actually going to be on it pretty soon. So cool. Yeah, we'll be on. We'll be on. Don't worry, bro.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah. And then, shit, what was I saying? I totally forgot. No, yeah. So, like, the podcast, you can actually find the information about the podcast on Borderplex Entertainment. It's Borderplex semicolon. No, just colon entertainment.
Okay.
And then catch me on YouTube. I have multiple videos of my stand-up. And then if you guys want to actually, like, book me, I have a... I have a booking page on Gig Salad, also under Ozzy Muniz, so you guys can catch me.
And I'm much less involved and I think equally successful. But yeah, so I'm just Luis Rodriguez. I mean, the picture has cats. It's probably me
on the Facebook.
Yeah, but or anything. But I don't really.
The Twitters? Yeah, so, you guys on Twitter?
Yeah, but I rarely post anything. Like, I just. I'm not so self-important.
No, yeah, my Twitter handle is the Ozmeister, _Ozmeister. Cool. And then Instagram, I have it at Ozmeister49. And if it's a picture of me holding up a mic, killing it, then that's probably me.
We're almost done here. Just two more questions.
No, yeah, no problem, dude.
How does El Paso inspire your comedy?
You know what's funny is that, like, if you're actually like in the comedy scene and you notice and you like watch a lot of the locals here, you can tell that nobody in town sounds the same. You know, there's no generic kind of comedian here in town because there's not a real niche. There's not even a real niche here. So, I mean, everyone sounds different. Like, and I think that's what kind of makes everyone here their own unique talent, is because nobody, like Nico Ajimian's got a different style than Lewis. Like Aurora Tarango's got a different style than I do. And I have a different style than Beto Armenta, but we're all pretty good. You know, so I mean, and they're bookable, every single one of those guys, including me. So like, shameless promotion.
Plug.
But so, so like, yeah, dude, El Paso definitely influences it, and it influences everybody in a different way. And you can definitely see the proof's in the pudding. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely see it. If you watch the other comics, they're not the same. And El Paso definitely inspires me just because it's such a high talent pool here. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, you run around, go to the local shows, you know, check other artists out, like other comedians. Like, they're slamming, dude. They're good. And everyone here is, like, anyone that's willing to go up and perform and, you know, they can get a crowd out and, you know, rock their faces off or... you know, get them laughing their asses off, whatever. They like, if you can do that, if you have the power to do it, like, continue doing it and just keep being yourself, man. Shit, it's dope.
I think for me, the biggest influence, the way that El Paso influences me is that El Paso is where all of the terrible things that ever happened to me have happened to me. So it kind of kind of makes it like a special place, you know. Yeah,
that's, but other than that,
I mean, I think I'm too busy in my bubble to, you know, the people are great, right?
Anything else you'd like to add?
Shit, no, man. I mean, shout out to Desert Warriors Paintball. Shout out to Motion Headquarters. Joe Ray, super talented guy. You can catch him on YouTube also. You know, shit, man, there's so much good shit out here. Like, people just need to come out, you know, just come out. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, there's nothing to do in El Paso. And it's like, bro, go the fuck outside. Like, what are you talking about? There's plenty of shit to do. There's always a show. There's always a hip hop show. There's always a comedy show. There's always something. So, like, I mean, the people just need to get out and understand that there's a very high talent pool here. And who knows? You might even catch somebody that's like, gonna be famous one day, because you know this shit takes time.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'm only 2 years in, and you know, like, I get recognized at the glory holes.
Yeah,
but like but so like it you yeah just
yeah
like,
you know, just get outside,
get out there, just yeah, people good, get out there, support your local artists, support these guys, because it's a gargantuan talent pool. These dudes are amazing. The ladies are amazing. Like, everyone's good. So, like, there's plenty of shit to do. Come out to a show. Even the drag shows. The drag show that just happened at Epic. That one was dope, too. So, I mean, like, anything, bro.
Just like everything, it all takes work.
Yeah, it all takes work. It all takes perseverance. And the only way...
your friends, like, endeavors. Like, whenever your friends are... whenever you have like a, your friend's band is playing, your friend, whatever, is doing any performance, like belly dancing, or like, they're going to have their paint somewhere. If they're going to be, you know, selling any kind of artwork or selling any kind of, or, I mean, even if they have businesses, just, we should, I think a lot of the time, like people will don't want to, they don't want to share. Cause it's like acknowledging that somebody else is doing something. Like, just people are petty like that. It's like don't be petty. Like, if you have shit going on, if your friends have shit going on, like, you know,
fight the algorithms.
And
seriously, like, sharing is caring, pretty much, in all these social media stuff.
And to quote the Bard, stay crunchy, even in milk.
Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Go fuck yourself.